You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Richland College or the DCCD. Just before the show, I was reviewing an interview that Glenn Beck gave last Thursday. Apparently, Senator Rand Paul was in Dallas because the video was shot in his studio in Dallas, Texas. I think it's in Irving, and I'm pretty sure where it is, but I'm not positive. And the reason I'm bringing it up, it relates to what I was discussing a week ago, and that concerns the growth of the independents. If you more and more Americans are really sick with both political parties, both the Democratic and the Republican Party. For many Democrats, former Democrats, traditional Democrats, if you will, and my family was traditionally Democratic, my brother still is the fact that their family, their parents and their parents' parents, it was sort of like passed down from generation to generation. Now, I didn't approach it that way. I decided that my political philosophy was going to determine which candidate I was going to vote for. So I would definitely check out the candidate, check out the party as well. But it was rather critical that whoever was running be for limited government. I'm a classical liberal, and I prefer that as opposed to but I've given up trying to convince people. Classical liberals are considered libertarians in the United States. In Europe, they're considered liberals, not to be confused with the American liberal of the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even today, because classical liberals very much believe in a constitutional republic, a representative republic with limited government. We haven't had that for over 100 years. I'm not trying to be naive about it, but I look for candidates that are going to shrink the size of the federal government. And there have been very few of those. That's why I've given up on both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. There was really no hope for the Democratic Party. But Senator Rand Paul reminded me of something. Is the parties tend to, over time, if you look at a generational history, flip their positions. You remember, and the best way to say this, the Democratic Party, especially in the South, was the party of slavery. It was the party of segregation after the Civil War. Yet today, most blacks vote for the Democratic Party, mainly because of the civil rights votes in the 60s, where really they weren't passed if it weren't for the majority of Republicans voting for it. The people that were opposed to it were Democrats in the South. So the irony of ironies is today most blacks would say, I'm a Democrat, without recognizing the history and the fact that the Republican Party under Lincoln did free the slaves. They don't seem to realize that. And they fought against segregation. But they're dyed-in-the-wool, true-believer Democrats. Now, the party did change. I'll be the first one to say. Democratic Party today is not the Democratic Party of the 40s, 50s, 60s, or even the 70s. It has radically changed. But the problem is many of the Democrats, not the segregationists, but Democrats in the North, moderates, liberal Democrats in the South, the whole party has shifted way to the left. And I think it's on a path that one of either the Republican or Democratic parties or both could disappear. Now, you look at me like I'm crazy, but I keep hearing, and the interview was a good example, because Rand Paul mentioned that he helped a third party candidate to run for president, namely his father. And I forget the percentage of the vote he got. I believe it was around 1% or less. I have no idea what the vote was, but it was probably 1% or less. And he points out that it's difficult to really overcome this duopoly of two party. We have two-party rule, where both parties in the last 100 years have moved further and further to the left in the sense of bigger and bigger government. And that's how you can measure it. I like to say that both parties are progressive, but I'm on a college campus. When I say progressive or socialist, the young students kind of look at you in a glazed look that they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Not a clue. I was having a discussion once with a black friend of mine and said, well, Barack Obama's a socialist. He said, what's a socialist? I said, you don't know what a socialist is? No, I have no clue. Proceeded to show several policies, illustrate by example some of the policies, and he was against them. Because Barack Obama, for example, is a gun grabber. If he could do away with the Second Amendment, he would. And this gentleman said, I think we should have guns. And he's right. He lives in a neighborhood where a gun is needed. You don't wait for the cops to show up if they ever show up. And we're in Dallas. So if you live in a poor neighborhood, yeah, you might get a response an hour later, but that's not going to help you. And the same thing on abortion. He was against abortion. I said, well, he's a big supporter of abortion and Planned Parenthood. It was all news to him. You see, the problem is people tend to vote how their parents voted. And now we've had, three, four generations of blacks voting Democrat. They totally forget the history of the Democratic Party. Now, parties do change, as do people. But I don't see any hope for either party. They're both going more or less in the same general direction of bigger and bigger government. The difference between the two is what they want to spend the money on. They're both for big government, where the Democrat Party wants more and more welfare programs, more and more entitlement programs, totally disregarding where we're at today. The United States is incurring massive amount of debt. They're leveraging up. And it's only a matter of time before we exceed the World War II percentage of roughly around 120% of real GDP or gross domestic product, where gross domestic product is the sale of all goods and services, final goods and services in the United States. We reach those high levels as a result of engaging in World War II. You see, during wars, what happens is government will first increase taxes, which they did. They're already high, but increased them. They'll engage in wage and price controls, which they did. They will try to sell bonds, which they did, and they also print money. You have coordination between the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of the United States, and the U.S. Treasury. They really weren't independent. And that's what most large nations today do. There's three ways to pay for government. You can tax people, you can borrow the money, and you can print or create money and credit. The United States government today is doing all three with a vengeance. And in that situation, you need to reverse this trend. Neither the Republican Party nor the Democratic Party shows any real inclination to do this. They'll talk about it. The Republicans are great talkers. Actually, both parties are great talkers. It's the results that count. And that's what matters to me, and it should matter to you, especially if you're unemployed and can't find a job. So I was interested in the interview, and Senator Paul was making the point that the Republican Party has to fundamentally change, or it won't win any of the presidential elections in the future. I'll take it one step further. Both parties have to change, radically change, if they plan to really maintain power. See, both parties are in denial of the fact that 40%, actually 42%, according to the Gallup poll, recent Gallup poll, of Americans today really don't want anything to do with either party. That's why they consider themselves independents. So the real question, the first question, and it keeps coming up, and I'm real frustrated at it, is you have both talk show hosts as well as politicians, a few of which I would vote for, such as Senator Paul or Senator Cruz, for example, or Mike Lee, and there's some congressmen as well, that I would vote for, even though they're Republicans. Because like I said, I vote my political philosophy. And I understand for them to get elected, they had to make a choice. Should I go the Democratic Party or the Republican Party? Well, if you're a classical liberal or a libertarian, or you believe in constitutional government, or you think the government's too big, taxes are too high, debt's too high, what party do you go to? And the default has been the Republican Party. At least that used to be the default. You see, what's happening is independents are either staying home, not voting, which I think is a viable option, or they'll occasionally come out for a candidate where they think there's some chance of making change. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I think both parties are damaged brands. I don't want to do business or vote for either one. They're hopeless. They're not going to change. And I don't have the time nor inclination to change them. And see, that's what Beck as well, you know, Beck is sort of soured on both the Democrats and the Republicans. But he thinks we need to change the Republican Party. And that's the standard line for most talk show hosts. Now, I overslept. I was up late last night really working on something that I'm still working on. I'm going to have a busy 2, 3, 4 days. And as a result, I really didn't have I like to listen to the Bill Bennett show, but it starts at 5 in the morning and goes to 8. But I did catch a snippet of it before I dozed off. I'll wake up and then just fall back to sleep. So I didn't really consciously listen to the show. But a caller called in, nice lady, saying this, what I'm just saying. I am fed up with the Republican Party. I don't trust him. And Bennett, secretary, remember, he was Secretary of Education, drug czar. He used to be a Democrat progressive that switched parties. He's also a neoconservative, by the way. And I like his show. I think he has the best show on the air. He definitely has the best show on the air from 5 to 8 in the morning. And he was trying to discuss, well, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to vote Republican. Otherwise, you're just letting the Democrats win. You see, what's happening is, and I think the Republicans are beginning to understand this. That lady is millions of people, including me. I'm not going back to the Republican Party. If that means the Democrats win, fine. It's not fine, but people don't change until there's a crisis, until they have to change. That's reality. People resist change. Given what I did both in financial planning and for a while as a project manager, I will tell you people will resist change. They get in what they call their comfort zone, and they don't want to go outside of it. It's difficult to make people change. But they are changing in the sense they're fed up with both political parties. I don't think you should try to reform the Republican Party. Why waste your time? And you're going to have a battle royal. It's not going to be easy. Do you think the leadership, the establishment of the Republican Party, locally, county, state, nationally, are just going to surrender to you? No. There's a reason why I think a good portion of the leadership of the Republican Party today is progressive, or I like to use the term bigs. They're just another big. Who are bigs? Big interventionist government status. They want to grow the size of the federal government. Now, the difference, I said what the Democrats are for, more welfare programs, more entitlement programs, which means more and bigger government and higher taxes. It's not working. And what I mean by that, a minority of people will support that. You're always going to have people with their hands out. And more people are that way. We're really breaking down American people into two groups. The moochers that want freebies. They want welfare. They want Medicaid. They want housing subsidies. They want higher income tax credit. They want higher supplemental security income. Cars, and that's a large percentage and growing percent, and they want food stamps. And that's especially true when you have persistently high rates of unemployment, which we do. We're still over 6% unemployment, over 6.5%. Amazing, because it doesn't have to be that way. But the problem is both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, most of their advisors are Keynesian economists. And Keynes was for public works in recessions. I'm summarizing, but that's in essence his policy recommendation. It hasn't worked. That's the problem. Nice theory, Mr. Keynes. He's been dead for, he's going on, he died in April, I believe it was April, the end of April, I don't know the day, of 1946. I think it was April 30th. So this year we'll be celebrating, not celebrating, but it'll be the 68th anniversary of his death. And he came out with a very influential book in 1936 that shifted economics. I'm not going to get into the economics or because that's not what the show is about. But ever since then, the economic profession, with some notable exceptions, has been for stimulus packages. Not everybody. I don't want to paint with a toothbrush, but the solution to when we're in a slow or stagnating economy or a recession, we're not in a recession, we're in a very, very slow, stagnating recovery, the worst recovery since World War II, has been more government spending. That combined with an easy monetary policy. And it hasn't worked. And Exhibit A is the fact that the unemployment rate has been over 6.5%. Every day Barack Obama has been president. And it's getting worse because the labor, people participating in the labor force has been going down because people can't find jobs. And neither the Republican Party or the Democratic Party has an idea or a clue what to do. It's not that there aren't people, including me, that have examples of what they should do. And the key problem is out-of-control government spending. You see, what I strongly recommend is the formation of a third party. Now, what's the difference between my view of it as opposed to many congressmen, senators, even presidential aspirants? You need to build a party. It's not winning an election. You build a party, and to the extent that you're successful, then you'll win many elections. But to the extent you're not successful, you won't win any. And the goal should be to replace one or more of the two major parties today. Is that going to happen in one election? Absolutely not. We're talking years, probably decades. I think it will happen because people are just disgusted. And it's interesting to see the reaction of Republicans such as Bennett when people call in and say, I'm sick of the Republican Party. I don't want any part of them. A plague on both houses. And they keep going, well, you know, he's been a good conservative forever. American people are results-oriented. They're looking for results, not excuses, not BS. And that's what the Republican Party has become. They're great talkers. Some of them talk real good conservative. Well, we got to have a balanced budget. We got to have ceilings on spending. Well, that's real good, but haven't seen any balanced budgets lately. Haven't seen any surpluses. Well, we only control one-third of the government. That's an excuse. You got to play hardball. You need leaders that are willing to play hardball. These are not hardball players. They're marshmallows. And what I mean by that, people have been raising, a few pundits, if you will, have been discussing the impeachment of President Obama. And the view is, well, we'll never impeach the first black president. And I think that's probably that's where the smart money will be. But I'm of the opinion, and so have others, if Barack Obama weren't black and the Republicans win this fall, by win I mean control, keep control of the House and control the Senate, there is a strong case for impeachment because he's rewriting law, and that is not his function. And the Congress needs to put its foot down, needs to rein him in. And you're not going to get his attention until you impeach him. Remember, impeachment is like an indictment. It doesn't mean you're guilty. And the Senate would have to try it. Now, no one, including me, I'm not recommending it at this time. There's no point. Why? The Senate is controlled by the Democrats. So even if you did have an impeachment vote in the House and it passed, in other words, the president was impeached, the Democratic Party is not going to find him guilty. And then you have the problem of there are several bigs, Republicans, that would vote with the Democrats. They do it all the time. So I don't see it happening anytime soon. At the earliest, probably a year from now. At least a year from now. But I don't think it, I wouldn't not rule it out. Because I think he's, for example, if the House and the Senate become controlled by the Republicans, I think you're going to get a reaction from the president that might surprise Republicans. I think it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. he's going to go for broke. His back is against the wall, but he has the media more or less in his pocket. So he'll rewrite laws, issue executive order after executive order. Now, what will lead to his impeachment, besides his rewriting a law, what he's doing is not enforcing existing law or rewriting existing law, both Obamacare as well as the deportation and drug laws. Those alone could be the counts of an impeachment bill. But I think it's going to take, but that's not enough. You have two other major scandals that I think will come, although the Democrats are dragging this out. It's the IRS and the Justice Department, namely the FBI, which is in the Justice Department, is supposedly conducting an investigation to see if crimes were committed when the IRS dilly-dallied with giving exemption status to various Tea Party groups as well as conservative groups and pro-life groups. There is more than smoke there, but they're dragging this out. They're stonewalling and dragging it out. And what's happened is the FBI has really not conducted a complete, thorough investigation because there are literally dozens of people that did not get their exemption letters. And the FBI has not talked to any of them. There are a few that they did, but most of them they haven't at all. And if they're going to really do an investigation, you should talk to these people. Because the IRS was insisting on a lot of information that, frankly, if you're a taxpayer, you're not really required to give them. This was a politically motivated and coordinated attack on the Tea Party. Now, the Republicans are not really that friendly to the Tea Party either. And who are the Tea Party members? Most of them, not all of them, but most of them are independents. Independents. They're not members of the Republican or the Democratic Party. And I've said it before, their number one issue was out-of-control government spending, which has gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. We keep adding debt after debt after debt. And there's really no end to sight to this. I don't see it leveling off. The rate of increase has slightly gone down. But if you look at the projected numbers, yeah, we're going to have a sort of a flattening in the growth of that in the next 2 or 3 years, only to rapidly return to much higher deficit, where deficit is where your government spending exceeds tax revenues. And when I mean back to the bad days, the first 4 years, every year President Obama had a deficit of over $1 trillion. And for those 4 years, total it was over $5 trillion, which means that they had to borrow, the Treasury had to borrow that money. You run a deficit, you can't pay your bills, what do? You borrow it at very, very low rates from the Federal Reserve, as well as other investors. It's both. It's not 100% printing of money by the Fed. Just a large percentage of every auction, the Fed was there. Now, they're tapering off right now, which is good, but that's just decelerating. They're buying less and less bonds. At least that's their plan. The problem is their balance sheet today went from roughly $800 billion prior to the financial crisis of 2008 to today. Their balance sheet is over $4 trillion. Over $3 trillion was buying Treasury securities as well as mortgage-backed securities. It doesn't mean that the entire deficit of the federal government was bought and paid for by the Federal Reserve, but a large percentage of it was. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is we need to cut spending, and there's no real urgency about that. There's no attempt to educate Americans as to why that needs to happen, that you can't continue down this road. And it doesn't get, see what Glenn Beck's point to Paul was. You can't get people outraged or to pay attention to this. And a good example is the president lied to the American people about Obamacare when he said you can keep your plan if you like it, you can keep your doctor if you like it, and you'll save money roughly $2,500, pay less. All three were lies that they knew at the time were lies. The reason he said it was to get reelected president. So they will lie to you, and both parties are guilty of this. The problem is that people aren't engaged. They're engaged, but they're not engaged in politics. They're not interested in politics. Now, more and more people are because they see the direction this country is going, and they're concerned about it, especially older people. But I think it's across the board, and it's growing, and you see it in the growth in independence. What is truly needed is not an attempt, because I think it ultimately will fail, to try to reform the Republican Party. I think that's a fool's errand. You'll waste a lot of time and money and you'll have very little progress. Oh, occasionally you'll get a congressman elected. You might even get a senator here and there, and maybe even a presidential nominee. But will there be fundamental change, a transformation of the Republican Party? You got to be kidding me. You see, what I did, I'm getting up there in age. I said of all the presidents that I could have voted for, how many could I wanted to? And there's really only one. And I have reservations about him. And that was Ronald Reagan. He's the only one that even came close to reflecting my political philosophy. All the rest don't. And that's when I said enough is enough. You see, the Republicans and the Democratic Party are like Pepsi and Coke. Well, I don't drink Pepsi or Coke. I drink a store brand. But Pepsi and Coke spend a lot of money every year advertising so they can charge higher prices. And you pay for the advertising. I always get a chuckle out of people that, and it's not just beverages. Advertising works. Let me say it again. Advertising works. People will spend more money, a lot more money, for commodities that for all practical purposes, if you had a blind taste test, you couldn't tell the difference. A little example. I used to get my cereal at a local dollar store. Apparently, whoever was running it was having some problems because if you've been listening to the show, at least one or two occasions I've mentioned this, they have been closed for the last 3 months, 2 to 3 months. I think the store was mismanaged. That's at least my suspicion. I don't know. I don't know the owners. I didn't think the store was kept up to the standards that a good small grocery store, Dollar General store should be. However, I bought my cereal there. Why? I could get the same cereal, a box of cereal. They sell the cereal. They're different size boxes. But $1.50. I could buy Rice Krispies, Corn Flakes, Raisin Bran, Shredded Wheat, and those are the four cereals I tend to consume for breakfast with a banana and skim milk. I could spend $1.50 and buy their product. Or I could go to Kroger and buy, in essence, the same cereal, a Kroger brand, for roughly 90 cents more, $2.40 a box. In some cases, the box is actually smaller than the Dollar General. Or I had an alternative. I could buy the nationally advertised brand for over $3. Most of it's like $3.25, $3.50. Occasionally it's on sale, but it's over $3. Twice the Dollar General. And you can't tell the difference. But what is the difference? It's advertising. The national brands, and you know who they are, Kellogg or Post, there's several. They spend a lot of money promoting their brand, and that's their prerogative. You know, that's their business model, advertising. And they spend a lot of money on advertising, but they charge you for it, and you see the charges in the fact that it costs a lot more. It costs more even than the store brand. Well, the problem I was getting into, I was running out of cereal for like 2 to 3 months. This Dollar General store was closed, so I was looking to, I needed to buy some cereal. It came right down to that. So I had to break down and buy at Kroger their brand cereal. But fortunately, they were having a sale. And it was not their regular $2.40 or $2.50 a box. It was $2. It's still 50 cents more than a Dollar General equivalent. So I stocked up on cereal because that's what I eat for breakfast. Some people like bacon or ham or eggs. I'm very quick, want to get it done, and I eat cereal for breakfast. Well, I'm getting into this. Is that's the problem what we have with the Democratic and Republican parties. They're the national brands, and they have a duopoly. You really have one or two choices. You don't really have a third choice. There are many third parties, many, but they get a minuscule percentage of the vote, and they spend most of their time and most of their money just trying to get on the ballot. What is needed in the United States today is a successful third party. And that's going to take years and a lot of money and a lot of people. But that's truly what's needed. And eventually, I think the talk show host, as well as many of the Republicans, are going to come to that conclusion. Because who was attacked by the House Republican leadership? The Tea Party members that got them the majority, by the way, that put Boehner in control of the House. That's who he went after. And that's Senator Ted Cruz, Mike Lee from Utah, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. But those are the three stars. There are others. And that's the problem with trying to reform the Republican Party. They're entrenched. They will first try to co-opt you. Come on and play ball with me. You want to succeed at, you want to be on a good committee? Well, you have to vote the way I say, not the way the Tea Party says. So I think it's a lost cause, a lot of waste of time and money to try to reform the Republican Party. Now, the Democratic Party, as far as I'm concerned, is a lost cause. They are so far to the left today that, hey, if you're a socialist, a communist, a big government type, they're the ones you should vote for. You know, if you have your hand out and want more, if you're part of the Moocher group, that's the party to vote for. I'm not going to change your mind. But if you want to get ahead and produce and be self-reliant, I can't recommend the Republican Party either. They're just as bad. It's just the difference of what they want to spend it on. So it was interesting to hear the interview. But you got to remember, those Tea Party folks were on the Republican ticket, even though the Republican Party nationally fought tooth and nail first to challenge him in the primary, and that really didn't really support their election efforts. And see, that's the problem. You're dealing with a ruling elite, an establishment that is not open to change. It's a lost cause. Why beat your head against the wall? Because that's what you're doing. And a lot of people, like I said, independents today are the largest political affiliation. 42% today consider themselves independents. About 31% are Democrats and 25% are Republicans. So a third party is in the cards. I don't think it's going to happen until that number goes over 50. But once it goes over 50, it becomes more and more viable. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College,